about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting men for a dynasty. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Just how long the rest of us can count and be free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the wheel life, if you don't love it, leave it. But this song I'm singing, be warned. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in the fog of dynasty. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be warned. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com or AltRightTV.com. You can reach us through either channel. And, well, this weekend will be another weekend of protests right across Canada against the lockdown, or against what's sometimes called the new normal. And there'll be a protest on Saturday at between noon and 3 o'clock at Queen's Park in downtown Toronto. I think this is the, I believe, the 10th. And the themes are pretty clear. No new normal. We want our country back. We want our freedoms back. We do not want compulsory masks. By law, I think on Tuesday, you will not be able to shop in a supermarket or go into an indoor public space without wearing a mask. I think there has to be widespread resistance to this. Now, you know, if you want to wear a mask, I'm not saying don't wear a mask. If you are convinced that you are safer that way, well, frankly, that's your business. I don't look down on you if you do, but I do not want to be compelled to wear a mask for a whole lot of good reasons. One of them being that I personally find it hard to breathe through them. No, I'm not. I don't have asthma. I'm not. I don't have a pre-existing medical condition, but I do find it hard to breathe. I find them uncomfortable. And most of all, I don't like being bossed around and being told by some snip that I have to wear a mask. I was told a very humorous story today by a very good supporter. My friend was into a some sort of shop, in Burlington and didn't have a mask on. And it's not mandatory either. So my friend was told by the 20-something snowflake girl behind the counter, "You're not wearing a mask." And my friend said, "No, I'm not." We'll sell you a mask." She says, "I'm not buying a mask. And even if you gave it to me, I'm not wearing it because I can't breathe as well as I should." "Well, I'm diabetic. I might get some COVID." You don't know what. Well, put that girl over your lap and give her a good spanking, or feel sorry for her. Somebody's done a number on her head. I mean, they really have. Yeah, COVID is obviously it's not good if you get that. But even the official party line is that the COVID attacks the lungs. It's a flu. The girl having diabetes has nothing to do with it. Anyway, she was almost blubbering. She was afraid to die. And so my friend said, "Well, you're obviously not interested in my business. I'm leaving." And you know, that's what we have to do. You know, we're in a war, and we're in a war for freedom. And I know the thought pattern of many businessmen: I'll just obey whatever rules the government says so I can go ahead. Now, no, I get that. You know, it's not particularly brave, not particularly admirable, but, you know, I understand it. But I'm not sympathetic. Okay, that's your hang-up. My hang-up is freedom. And, no, I'm not, you know, I want to hear you standing up for freedom. I was told of another place. Now, in most parts of Ontario, beginning a couple of weekends ago, we reached stage two. Well, I didn't know what that meant, but okay. It meant that with many, many, many restrictions, patio bars, not the indoor restaurants, but patio bars could open up and could serve drinks and food. As I said, with many, many restrictions. Well, among the restrictions, at least in one of the requirements in one place, was photo ID and proof of a phone number. So you're required to provide your photo ID and a phone number. That's to track you. The person who told me this said, my date and I questioned the person who wanted this information and said, "Are you for real?" And on finding out that was, as they say, for real, said, "Well, you won't be having our business. That's just it." I'm not giving you my my photo ID. You'll give me a break here. I'm not giving you my photo ID. You know, I will provide you with a credit card if you know, if a big worry is payment or cash. But no, not yeah. And we have to resist. You know. Each of these things could be seen as a little thing. Oh, well, yeah, I'll show you my driver's license and so on. And it's dutifully noted down. And you may say, well, what harm does it do? I'll tell you the harm it does. Somebody gets to keep this information. Do we know for how long? No. Do we know who might have access to it? No. Why should I, to get a glass of beer or a glass of wine or some cold rum drink and some munchies, have to part with my full identification? You shouldn't. And what is being done here, I think, it may not be the only plan, the whole plan, but it's part of the plan. And that is to see how much can these people be pushed around? How much will you take? Now, you know, the answer that we give collectively may affect our long-range freedoms. Well, it will affect our long-range freedoms. How much can they bully us? And if the answer is a whole lot, we will have lost incrementally over so far 4 months a great many of the freedoms that we took for granted back in February of this year. This is a battle that has to be constantly fought. You know, we are at war, and if you don't think we are, you're sadly mistaken. We are in a war, in a war for our freedoms. It's not a war against COVID. Yes, there's a virus out there. Yes, we have to take reasonable precautions and particularly protect the old and the vulnerable. But that should not mean the vacuuming of our freedoms. And yet we keep being told that there's no going back to the way things were in February, that there will be some form of new normal. And what the protests this weekend are saying, and one of the things the protests up in Ottawa on Dominion Day said was, there will be no new normal. We're not accepting an erosion of our freedom. So the protest this Saturday in Toronto is from noon until 2. In Kelowna, British Columbia, from noon until 2. And Sunday at the Vancouver Art Gallery from 2 until 4. And I'm rather impressed with the statement of the people in Vancouver. I'm going to read you the, what you might call, who are we, or the, you might say, the mission statement. I think it's very well written. And first of all, the poster says, "No new normal. Open all businesses, churches, schools, community centers. No, say no to social distancing and take off your masks. End the lockdown." I think that's really important. We don't go along with a lockdown. I'm just trying to find the rest of this this statement here. What we are all about, this is the Vancouver group. "We are a committed group of British Columbians who are very concerned about the extremely negative and long-lasting effects of the government's draconian and highly illegal lockdown and its associated measures being imposed upon the citizens of our province. The severity of the coronavirus is drastically and hysterically exaggerated by governments and health authorities worldwide. The mainstream and corporate media parrot and amplify this to keep people in a constant and relentless state of fear and anxiety. All of the illegal measures, including social distancing, plastic barriers, mask wearing, business, school, and church closures, plus more, have already done incalculable and long-term damage to people's livelihoods, their physical and mental health, and to the social fabric of our communities. The idea that all or even some of these illegal measures could become permanent is a shocking and unthinkable vision for our future. This does not even include the frightening and dystopian possibility of planning medical impositions such as forced chemical injections, that is, mandatory vaccines. None of this can be allowed to happen by principled and moral people in our province. We want the government to bring an immediate and permanent end to the immoral and illegal lockdown and all of its associated measures, including social distancing and mask wearing." Bonnie Henry, she's the Chief Medical Officer of Health in British Columbia, Adrian Dix, he's the Health Minister, and all officials involved in perpetrating these injustices
Gainsons must resign and accept full and complete personal responsibility for the terrible damage they've caused to the people of this province. Thank you for choosing to bring about an thank you for joining us to bring about an optimistic for us all view of the future. Choose not to live in fear. And I think that's very, very important. Choose not to live in fear. That doesn't mean necessarily people are blasé. There is an illness out there, and you have every right to be cautious, of course. But to live in gut wrenching fear, is just not right. It's not fitting for decent or reasonable people. And that is what I find so appealing about so many of these protests across Canada. The people are beginning to get up on their hind legs and say, we're not going to be governed by this fear. Because fear is one way that they want to keep you controlled. I mean, the story or the example I just gave you of the girl, terrified out of her brain, absolutely frightened out of her mind, that the COVID virus was going to could kill her because she is diabetic. Unless she also has respiratory problems and is massively overweight, she doesn't have to fear she doesn't have to fear the COVID virus for that. But somebody has done a number on her head, and the poor girl is living in terror. Which is one of the reasons I think it's so important for us to lead and to help fight back. anyway, I'm going to. One of the people who's done extremely well in this latest, in the crisis going on in the United States, is Tucker Carlson. And I'm hoping I can show you, let you listen to something that Tucker Carlson, the GOP is full of incompetent idiots, can you name one person who in Congress who actually is accomplishing anything for America? Josh Hawley is a smug Ivy League dork who has no idea what he's talking about. Rand Paul has not done nothing of substance whatsoever. Ted Cruz does a lot of talking with no action. These people were all supposed to be the champions of the people, and they all turned out to be just like the rest of the GOP, spineless and useless. Who is representing the forgotten man of America? Tucker Carlson, that's who. Tucker has spent many weeks now calling out the fakes, frauds, and spineless fools in the GOP, and in the Trump administration. He hasn't been afraid to tell the emperor he has no clothes, and the people have rewarded him dearly for speaking to power. In early July, Tucker Carlson Tonight broke the record for highest rated program in U.S. cable history, garnering an average nightly audience of 4.33 million viewers. By any objective measure, Tucker Carlson is the only person on TV speaking the truth. 1 hour of Tucker Carlson contains more substance than anything anyone in the GOP or the rest of the conservative incorporated media have said all year long. The Beltway GOP lackeys, Locke brother Koch brother apologists, and Trump psychopaths spent all day filling the airways with pointless nonsense about the intolerant left or some other distraction while the country, our culture, and our history burns to the ground. What these people are clowns, jesters. They exist in prominent positions as influencers to distract you from the very real issues, many of which Tucker Carlson talks about every night of the week. They are the very definition of controlled opposition, and anyone paying attention to them knows this. The best part about these useful idiot influencers shilling parlor over the past few weeks is that it exposes the entire GOP establishment right for the total and complete spineless scumbags they are. I'm reading somebody else's statement here. All of these people have known about Gab for 3 or more years, and many of them celebrated when we got no platform. They will tell you they support free speech, but just not the free speech of people on Gab who speak a little too freely. Interesting statement. And something really unusual has happened. For once, the government has backed down. It's backed down under the odoriferous reek in this hot, humid July of a big scandal. The government announced back in April a $900 million plus program to give money to students ages 16 to 30 for doing volunteer work. Now, whether that's a good or bad program, it may be debatable, certainly, when all jobs are very scarce right now because of the economic shutdown in response to the pandemic. Yes, maybe some program to help students would be a good idea. Unfortunately, it would offer between $1,000 to $5,000, paying them roughly $10 an hour for volunteer work. A lot of that sounds rather loosey-goosey. That means a minimum wage of $10. That's a wage of $10. Well, that's well below the minimum wage. and probably is inadequate. Well, that's maybe a quibble about the program itself, but you might expect that it would be administered by the government. It's a government program, right? That doesn't sound too unusual. But no, we were told it was going to be administered by we. Now, when I first heard that, I thought, is that the Kielberger organization, which was me to we? Well, it turns out it is. Now, the Kielbergers are two brothers who 25 years ago founded several so-called charities, but Me to We is one. And it's a smarmy, guilt sort of thing that we must reach out and do charity, etc. Now, they're very big on foreign aid, so I know some senior executives with a company here in Ontario who are very proud of the fact that two summers ago they went to Kenya as part of the Me to We program, project, to dig wells for Negroes in Kenya. And they even had some pictures at the company's annual shareholders meeting, they flashed up, they had I believe a slide presentation or a short video presentation. We saw some of the executives beat red out there in the African sun, having helped dig wells. And I thought, you know, what self-indulgent nonsense. Now, you know, if you want to do that, then it's your business, but the Africans don't need you to dig a well. They've got shovels that can dig their own wells. It's not high tech. It's not a skill they don't have. You know, it's not like building them a nuclear reactor or something. In the process, of course, the siphons in huge sums of money. Now, I'm not saying it's not properly used. I'm not saying anything at all. However, the Kielbergers, Craig and his brother, Mark, have made a name for themselves as preachy do-gooders. In fact, when Craig was just about 14, he made a big name for himself with I believe his mother helping with the promotion of fighting child labor in Bangladesh. I think he even went over to Bangladesh and lectured them. I'm surprised they didn't arrest his scrawny ass and throw him out. But anyway, that he got going, and then they are extremely well connected. Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, has spoken at some of their WE rallies. His wife, Sophie Gregoire Trudeau, is one of their ambassadors, as is Justin Trudeau's mother, Margaret Sinclair. Originally Sinclair, then Trudeau, and anyway, his mother. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, of course. However, suddenly it's revealed that this charity is going to administer this program. Well, wait a second, we've got paid government bureaucrats to do that. I mean, it's a government program. Well, there was some contradiction. One of the Kielbergers said that the government had called them to ask them to administer the program. Trudeau said, no, the civil servants had said that was the best course. All very odd. Well, anyway, the charity would make $19.5 million as a fee for administering all this. Jobs that could be done, of course, by civil servants who are already on the government payroll. There was also some, there are a lot of loose ends. Teachers would be paid $12,000 to recruit volunteers. Why would you pay teachers to do this? Well, why not put out advertise calls for volunteers and youth that are in the correct age bracket, 16 to 30, could step forward. There's also a considerable question as to whether we would end up getting even more money because they were being paid this $19.5 million up to the point of recruiting I believe just a fraction of the government was going to give we $19.5 million for managing 20,000 volunteer placements, but the program budget allows for more than 170,000 placements. Might we get more? So there were a lot of very good questions. Of course,
They can't be asked in Parliament because Parliament's being suspended. COVID virus, you know, that's a new excuse for everything. However, I think the pressure has so mounted that that relationship ended today. We will not be doing this. And I just say a big hooray. The Board of Directors in Canada and the United States has recently been changed. Some might even say purged. A lot of the old time people are out, new time people are in. Now, I'm supposed we may not spend a lot of time groaning and moaning about this. But anyway, I found this interesting in the write up in the Globe and Mail today. This is a statement from a former teacher of Craig Kielberger and a longtime board member. He's a professor at the University of Toronto. University of York University, Greg Rogers. Anyway, this is what he said. A number of board, he's been a longtime associate of the Kielbergers. He's now going to be the new CEO or chairman of the board, actually. Okay, Greg Rogers, and he said, a number of board members have served for directors for more than 5 or even 10 years. The goal of that process was to address renewal and sharpen the focus of future priorities and address issues such as diversity, inclusion, and range of competencies, all while continuing to provide strong oversight and guidance to the organization. Bob, you know, a lot of this corporate jargon, and of course the pay on to diversity and inclusion. You might ask yourself, well, who'd be excluded before? You know, what's this diversity thing? Here it goes. Mr. Rogers, the Canadian chair. I think they mean chairman. I don't know what a piece of furniture might have to do with anything here. Okay, Mr. Rogers, the Canadian chair, and the U.S. Chairwoman Jacqueline Sanderlin said in the statement to the Globe and Mail, with these objectives in mind, a number of board positions were refreshed. In other words, the old board members got the boot. As I say, I don't hold any brief one way or the another. I just find it funny. Here's the good part. In total, 6 of 9 new North American board members were filled with newcomers, including the appointment of a new chair. I always love the impersonal, politically correct jargon. They mean chair. I mean, why can't they just gag it out? As well, a majority of board spots are now filled by persons of color, including the U.S. chair, a colored chair. They said they believe the renewal process strengthened the two boards. Okay, so a majority of the boards of directors in the United States and Canada are non-white. Persons of color. What do you mean by that? You mean non-white. Now, okay, whoop-de-doo, diversity, inclusion, aren't we living saints? The problem, though, is this. Non-whites constitute about 39% of the population of the United States. In Canada, they represent about, according to the last census, about 22% of the population. If inclusion and diversity are your goals, there may be a role for these people, and perhaps in some valid reflection of their share of the population, but a majority? No. What you get to see very clearly from this is the brutal reality of that slogan. You know, diversity, inclusion. Diversity is a code word for white replacement. If your business, the company you work for is big on diversity, what it means is it doesn't want more people who look like you. Diversity is a code word for white replacement. Nothing else. You're white replacement. Now, as I say, I hold no brief for the people who are board of directors or on the board of directors of WE. I think the organization is flaky, have no use for it, etc. But, okay, they've been replaced by non-whites, all in the name of diversity and inclusion. Let's be very clear. That's what it means. Diversity means white replacement. Well, what did the lamestream media have to say about? Oh, yeah. The growing embrace of pride in indigenous communities. Now, you probably understood, and that would be the normal application of English, that this would be some sort of celebration of Indian culture, being proud of being Indians. Oh, you'd be wrong. Pride means homosexuality. Well, the whole gamut of LGBTQ, sexual weirdness. In the center of Arrowland First Nation, now that's a reservation, a rainbow Anishinaabe ASCII flag there it is, a rainbow color. And in the center, like some red star, I mean, the old, I guess, Hungarian flag, there's a, it looks like an animal skin pinned on a board. I'm not quite sure what it is. I guess it could be a bear, but anyway, this is their flag. Being held up by a group of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and two-spirited. Yeah, that's the Native Indian word for homosexual. Okay. And it's to acknowledge the LGBTQ2S, that's two-spirited people, and Arrowland is the only one of 41 these are Indian tribes in northwestern Ontario, whose leadership formally declared June Pride Month. Now, that's not Indian pride, that's, sexual weirdness pride. Winona Gagnon, a member of the that group of Indians, Youth Council, says it's a big first step. There's been such a big stigma around people who are a part of the LGBTQ community, who are two-spirited because of these ways of life were imposed upon us. As a bisexual woman, she said she spent years feeling she couldn't come out to her own people, which, like many communities in the North, are steeped in Christian tradition. That comes from the idea that there should be a man and a wife together, and that any other form of sexuality or any other attraction was deemed to be a sin. It would be very interesting, rather than her say-so, to know whether or what the tradition in Native Indian tradition was. But my guess is that, as with people all around the world, one of the few things I suspect almost all peoples could agree on was that marriage or normal relationships were a man and a woman. Then we have Sylvie Davis. And Sylvie Davis, let's see, what is her claim to fame? Sylvie Davis stands with her children, Michael and Kieran. She's a winner. Who are both part of the LGBTQ two-spirited community at their home in Sioux Lookout. Mrs. Davis and her family left the church after realizing it was no longer a safe space for her children, both of whom are LGBTQ, whatever that means. So when Michael, that's one of her sons, had questions about his sexuality, she took him to see their youth pastor. When the pastor asked whether Michael wanted to see a counselor who used to be gay but is now married to a woman has children, Mrs. Davis knew it was no longer a safe space. Everybody's looking for a safe space. Oh, just give me a cuddle. Don't bother. But what the pastor was saying was that you can overcome homosexuality. Well, they didn't even want to consider that, so Michael and she left the church. Michael, who is gay, and Kieran, who is transgender, so they left the church. But it wasn't an easy transition. So anyway, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, I'm looking at Kieran. Now, Kieran is transgendered. The name is male. Kieran is a fleshy-looking, effeminate-looking creature with orange hair. He's transgendered. Now, I assume that means, but I could be wrong, that he's a male but thinks he's a girl. But maybe he, who knows? But you wonder, this refers to, all of this deals with, about 1% of the whole population of all the issues that affect Indian people and affect the nation. Why does the media pay so much attention to the LGBTQ, the lot? I'll tell you why. Because many of them are that. This is special promotion. Well, enough of the pressing stuff. This is Fall Prom. You're on the fighting side of me. And I'm going to take my musical break right now. And here are some country and western greats from the Grand Ole Opry. Hope you like it. This is Paul Prom. And you're on the fighting side of me.
From Nashville, Tennessee, the country music capital of the world, here's the Grand Ole Opry.
Our star, Farron Young, with a big hit, Hello Waltz, Gil Barrett. Hello Waltz. How things go for you today? Don't you miss her? And walked away, and I'll bet you dread to spend another lonely night with me. But only once I'll keep you company.
seal it. I'm gonna stare at you a while. You know I can't sleep. So won't you bear with me a while? We've gotta all stick together. Feel it, she'll be gone long, long time. Hello, y'all.
Now with his big hit, Young Love, here's the country gentleman, Sonny James.
Just one love in this whole world, and I know I've found mine. The heavenly touch of your embrace tells me no one could take your place ever in my heart. From your sweet lips will tell me that your love is real, and I can feel that it's true. We will bow to one another, there will never be another love for you or for me. Young love, we share with deep emotion.
And now here's Marty Robbins.
I told Mary about it, told her about every sin. Mary cried and forgave me. Mary took me back again. Said if I wanted my freedom, I could be free evermore. But I don't want to be, and I don't want to see Mary cry anymore. Oh, never see, even after I have heard her, Mary's still in love with me. Devil woman, it's over, trap no more by your charm.
Cause I don't wanna stay, I wanna get away, woman, let go of my arm.
Oh, devil woman, devil woman, running along by the seashore, running as fast as I can. Even the seagulls are happy, glad I'm coming home again. Never again will I ever cause another tear to fall.
Down the beach I see what belongs to me, the one I want most of all.
Oh, devil woman, devil woman, don't hold me. Devil woman, let me be, and leave me alone, I'm going back home.
I've just learned that I don't really need you
anymore. I found a little place downtown where guys like me can go, and they've got bright lights and country music. Bright lights and country music, a bottle and a glass. Soon I'll be forgetting that there ever was a past. And everybody asks me what helped me forget so fast, I'll see. Bright lights and country music. A table by a bandstand, a bottle filled with wine. Honky tonks were made for men with work on their mind. Nothing else can take away this loneliness of mine. White light, bright lights, and country music. Bright lights and country music, a bottle and a glass. Soon I'll be forgetting that there ever was a past. And everybody asks me what helped me forget so fast, I'll say bright lights and country music. I love those bright lights and country music.
Bright lights and country music, I like them too. This is Paul Brown. You're on the fighting side of me here at rightresistanceradio.com or outrighttv.com. You can reach us either way. Back with you again tomorrow. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained